Wow, it's been a dark week here in the Asbest Films Wrangler studio.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. It's actually been the best week of my life.
That's Trickster talking.
Hello, I'm the Trickster.
I'm John Shaw. And in an empty seat over there is not Sam Bear because he retired the last episode.
Well, I'd just like to say that, John, I'm only speaking when spoken to. That's part of my contract. I just have to speak when spoken to because I denounce and renounce this filthy podcast. Thank you. So if you want to talk to me, talk to me. Otherwise, I ain't pitching in. All right? I have to be here contractually, and otherwise I would be flying the coop.
Wow.
Yeah, Sam's been a little absent. I've been calling him and texting him, and I guess this is what he's been up to, and that's why he hasn't gotten back to me. And
I hate to interrupt, but I'd just like to say that what you fellas, well, I don't know about you weird demon dog thing, but what you fellas are preaching forth in this house, this is not correct Dan Aykroyd worship, all right? I am part of the, I've been reborn, I'm a born-again Dan Aykroyd New Testament follower, and I'd just like to say all the shit that you guys have been following with your neighbors and your Saturday Night Lives and such, all that who's a wuzzle, I just need to say Dan Aykroyd did not become a viable deity until the 90s, and that's what I'd like to say, and I think that today, as we do exit to Eden, you will exit from your sinful view of Dan Aykroyd.
Well, let me clarify for the viewer, for the listener, what is happening. Basically, last week, in our cruising episode, Brett took ill and passed away into the...
And what was that disease? What was that blight from God himself?
I've erased it from my mind.
Me too.
It was a painful week, it was a painful show, and at the end, Sam retired, or left us, as it were. But now it seems he's back.
Well, contractually, I have to be here. I'd like to point that out again. Otherwise, I'd be preaching the sermon with my new talking buddies.
You know, you remind me...
Brandon and Joseph.
I can't help but... You remind me of an asshole.
I think you mean a little someone named Paul or Saul on the road to Damascus. That's who I remind you of, Jonathan.
Well,
I don't know how to feel here. I'm just, the two most important people in the world to me are clashing heads, and it's bringing me to tears almost. If I could cry, I might.
Can I just say,
you got one of the most important people?
Yeah, I'd just like to say, regardless of everything else that's going on, I think that's really messed up that you and I are the two most important people in the Trickster's life.
What about your parents, T? And I'm just realizing, too, the meaning of your name, like, it could stand for your acronym that you go by, T. Ryder Smith. And that's T. Ryder Smythe, for spelling it out. But you're actually, T, like, by itself is, like, short for Trickster. And I'm thinking, like, your name, you have, like, so many names and they're all connected. It all makes sense with you now. I'm starting to like you in that chair, in that seat, honestly. I think you're filling Brett's shoes nicely. Or Brett's red velvet corsage.
That's what I want to hear. And to answer your question, I never really had parents. I was programmed by some geeks. But, yes, that's why, my name is so on the wall. It's whatever I want it to be, I suppose. I like T, I like the Trickster, I like T. Ryder Smythe.
Well, I think some of the events we have coming up are going to be great, because Brett was dead weight, if you know what I mean. Like, he really slowed
down. I won't agree on much, but I'll agree with that, John.
If there's one lull in Summer Games Month, it was Brett Trail.
Well, Bebop the Dizzy.
I think we have a three-way Rambler agreement, as they say. Ring the bell, right?
Well,
right,
if you're guys? Anything like Brett, this won't be the last three-way Rambler experience.
No, I am actually excited because we are coming to the end of summer. You know, Summer Games Month nearly killed us. We've had some fun shows.
I think it killed Brett.
We're coming to the end of summer, and it's going to turn to fall soon, and we're going to talk about our fall shows later on. But I think it's perfect that Sam's, you know, reborn again attitude. We weren't planning to do this Aykroyd show yet. We were saving it. And you really pushed it on us because you found out and you were upset, honestly. Like, you shouted and you said things that I did not care for or agree with. But
I nailed a list of 96 grievances to John's parents' door.
Yeah, that's basically what happened. And it was hell on earth. And I think that Exit to Eden is going to show you that Dan Aykroyd is not the wholesome, down-to-earth family man that you always saw him as. Because this movie, from what I've heard, is fucked up.
Well, John, I think from the 90s Dan Aykroyd I know from sweet little films like Coneheads, My Girl, and his delightful cameo in Canadian Bacon, I think tonight will prove once again that the real Dan Aykroyd, the real Aykroyd that matters, is 90s Dan Aykroyd.
Well, I guess we'll see. Mm-hmm. Trickster, what do you have to say about all that? Do you know who Dan Aykroyd is?
Oh, I think I've seen his face. He's that handsome gentleman from Groundhog's Day, correct?
No, you're thinking of Brian Doyle Murray.
Okay. Well, either way, I just look forward to watching anything with you guys because I just love you so much, and I'm so glad Brett's out of the picture now. It's the three of us forever and ever, and I just can't wait, and I wrote you guys a little ditty to show you how I feel.
Oh, wow. Well, I wasn't ready for this, but I guess go ahead. Brett usually does the songs, but, you know, you did start out the band.
You don't need Brett no more, baby.
Woo!
Sam and John, the trickster without Brett, tell me how much better could it get? Extraterrestrial knowledge men will lead to the three best friends. That's John, Sam, and me. Two are the three best friends, yeah. Without Brett.
Man, sounds like a tea party's about to start.
and I want
Ring
this
the
night,
bell.
Ding, ding, ding. I want this night to be like a tea party because, honestly, I re-listened to the Aykroyd's Part 2 episode where we watched Neighbors. And we talked about some alien conspiracy stuff. We talked about Ascension Millennium. And I'm going to be honest, it got pretty dark, pretty disturbing, pretty scary. Like, I finished it last night, and I was sitting outside on my back patio, and it was dark, and the stars were out, and I had my headphones in. And I'm not going to lie, I got so creeped out that I went in and locked my door and turned on my alarm right away. As soon as I got to, once I pissed my pants, I couldn't take it. So I went inside. And I don't want that to happen again. When I re-listen to Aykroyd's Part 3, I want to be, in a good mood. I want to have fun. I want to, not have to change my jockeys every 15 seconds. And I just want to laugh because it was too real. Aykroyd's Part 2, Neighbors, was too fucking real. And I think Trickster would agree with that because you're all about funny games, right?
Oh, yes, I would agree.
Like, you started out as a cereal mascot, like the little cartoon character who's like, eat the marshmallows or whatever, right?
Yes, that was my claim to fame in my early years.
Right.
Eat the marshmallows out of my ass, I think, was the... I think it said on the box, right?
Yes, on the box it said, eat the marshmallows out of my ass.
Well, I'd just like to say this. If you want to know fear no longer, then I think that a decade for you is Dan Aykroyd. What could be frightening about a film starring Dan Aykroyd and the delightful Rosie O'Donnell?
Oh, I can't wait to talk about Rosie O'Donnell because I loved Rosie O'Donnell growing up, in the 90s.
Same here.
She was great, and then, as the years went on, I got less interested in
her. I met her back in 1994 at the 30th anniversary of the Monster Mash.
Are you referring to her as the Blob, perhaps?
Oh, she went as herself.
No, come on, you guys. We're going to talk about Rosie O'Donnell. We're going to talk about the Rosie O'Donnell show.
I watched it every day after school from 6th grade to 8th.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And what would your Aykroyd Bible say about that?
I believe there is a passage right here in regards to that. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good tidings. Rosie O'Donnell.
Well, this will be the first Rosie O'Donnell movie we watch on the podcast because eventually we're going to watch The Flintstones, which is probably her most remembered role. But
I love her in League of Their Own.
Yes, that's a good one.
Directed by the sister of the director of this film, Gary Marshall.
Penny Marshall.
Penny Marshall. Gary Marshall, her brother, created Happy Days. There's a little ritual from the purified 1990s Dan Aykroyd Church of the New Testament, in which, before watching a Dan Aykroyd film, we take the Holy Sacrament by placing the RCA cables of your DVD player to the genitals of any sort of freakish monster dog-looking thing wearing a red crushed red velvet suit.
That's a weirdly coincidental, specific passage.
Hey,
miracles happen, I guess.
Well, you're in luck, because where my genitals should be, you will find RCA outputs.
Those very lazy computer programmers, am I correct?
Yes, but it's fortunate because I am able to adapt different accessories.
Well, let's plug you on in, then. I want to see just the first few seconds of Exit to Eden being projected out of your eyeballs.
All right, just stick it in there and don't play
with
it.
Wait, we're really going to do this?
That's correct, Jonathan.
All right, and we're in, and...
All right. I'm pressing play. Seeing the Savoy logo. What?
It's
Jonathan. Brother Jonathan.
Something's wrong. It's shocking me.
What's happening here?
He's speaking in tongues.
Oh my gosh, his mouth is opening up. This is
about. I was just enjoying my usual lunch and you got in the way.
You fucker!
I have to say, despite the fact that Trickster ate Brett and lied to us and then puked him out looking like shitty CGI, I just can't stay mad at that guy anymore. I'm kind of pissed off that we got Brett back.
You know, you're right. Like, now that he's back in the room, there's like a glow emanating from him almost. It's like...
What are you guys talking about? Last week, you fucking cornered me in the room, in the kitchen there, and was talking about how it was the Trickster's time to shine, and his mouth stretched out really crazy big, and I just, like, he sucked me in. It was like a vacuum. I couldn't stop myself.
Well, I walked out and left last week, so I just wasn't paying attention. I'm pretty sure John went back to that nice little bar he was at.
It was the most horrible thing I've ever experienced.
What's it like inside there?
It's the kind of thing that extraterrestrial acknowledgement will lead to.
Well, I think that that's pretty weird because last week, or a couple weeks ago, you went inside Nathan Ralph Murphy, and then once again you're inside Trickster. Like, you're making a habit of being inside our guests, or crew people. And to me, that's like a little... What would the drunk bitch have to say about that?
Hey, I'm just looking for a free ride, baby.
Well, I guess that's all the explanation we need. That's all the trailisms we need to hear before we forgive him. Because now, like I said, it's like there's a shining light back in the room beckoning us, and his name is Brett.
Hey!
Hey, I said Brett. Brett, you're not going to like this new version of Sam that's, like, super...
What are you doing?
He's super... You remember how we did those Ackroyd shows?
Yeah.
Super popular. Everyone loved him. There's that contest going. Anyway, yeah. Sam now, he's like a born-again
He's so into it, isn't he?
Yeah, a little too much.
Hey.
A little too much.
Don't... If it wasn't for this consarnate contract I signed, Brett, I would not be here this day. Unfortunately, you were eaten by the Trickster last time, and you didn't experience how truly taxing that last episode was for me.
Well, Brett, you're in for a treat because we're watching 1990-something's Exit...
94!
That's cool. Sounds as good as any.
No, that's cool. I've always wanted to see this one. I've seen the end of it a bunch on, like, Showtime.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I've always seen the poster, or actually the video cover of it, back when I worked at a library somewhere. I would look at that videotape and I'd be like, what the fuck is this movie? Because it was just, like, Dan Aykroyd, Rosie O'Donnell in, like, black leather, doing their thing on the cover. Dana Delaney's in the background with some dude tied up, and it's just the weirdest cover ever.
Spoiler alert, I feel like during the climax everyone's just running around like a fair, like a some sort of like theme park or something.
I certainly hope they are.
Yeah, me too. Like, I like a good theme park movie.
I'd expect this to be really bad, but it could also be really weird. It could also be really... this movie could be whatever, and I'm gonna enjoy it. I think
it will be what has been foretold to me in my holy scripture, the 1999 Leonard Maltin Movie Guide.
What's that?
The 1999 Leonard Maltin Movie Guide.
No, what is it?
What is it was told to you?
That this movie will provide the true exit to Eden. I will be brought back to the original world without sin. Myself, Dan Aykroyd, and Rosie O'Donnell will be there, all dressed in the garments that our god, Dan Aykroyd, will provide for us. So, there you are. I'm expecting to be brought up Heaven's Gate into an exit in Eden.
Does anyone want to hear what the Trickster thinks?
Hey, Trickster, I'm just now noticing there's only 3 seats around the podcast table. We don't really... We have some for the guests, but I don't know where they are right now. Buddy, would you mind stepping away or something just for the sake of the, you know, the sound of the room, the flow? It's kind of like that fourth person is like a wall. It kind of bounces off, echoes back to the mic. It kind of messes up the whole flow of it. You know?
Yeah, why don't you just fuck off back to your booth? I mean, you got a whole booth.
Yeah, we don't have a booth. I see him eating his fries back there, and, like, you know, we have to do a whole show. Like, we can't just eat constantly, even though you do hear us eating from occasion.
Yeah, I mean, you're always eating, though.
Me?
Eating me.
Oh, hello. That's what Rosie trickster. O'Donnell said to Dana.
No, not you. I was talking to the trickster.
Well, I'm getting weird. Oh, well, trickster, you create confusion. Like, I don't know who Brett's talking to when you're around. You away. Go eat your, fries in your booth.
I'm going back to my booth now. I don't need to be in the booth.
Don't trip over whatever Quentin Tarantino and everyone else always trips over. Yeah, I think it's time to share the Aykroyd love and experience this new type of Aykroyd experience. The lighthearted side of Dan Aykroyd. But you're going to be wrong, religious Sam.
Boys!
Hey, wait till you hear the song I wrote when I was in Trickster's belly.
Oh my gosh, that's going to be interesting. That's a world record right there. First song ever written inside of someone like that.
Sounds like the tale from my scripture of Jonah and the whale. A.K.A. Dan Aykroyd and Rosie O'Donnell. She's a big fat whale. She doesn't have men inside.
Alright, man, I think it's time to...
Sam, would you like to join us?
I don't have to say that contractually.
Take it for a spin! Get back in there!
Get back in that box, Trickster!
You're the best, Trickster!
Let's take
it for a spin! Take it for a spin? Yeah, let's take it for a spin.
Come on in. Everybody, welcome to the show. It's about to begin. We're talking movie shorts and shows and much more with all our friends. With the dizzy fucking rim.
A little bit.
At that movie, Brett, how could you say that?
How could you say that to me?
Well, fellas, I'd just like to say that my opinion hasn't changed. I'm still a worshiper of Dan Aykroyd of the 90s. However, after seeing Exit to Eden, I now realize that Dan Aykroyd of the 90s represents greed and hate and self-pity. So therefore, I worship Dan Aykroyd Satan. Dan Aykroyd, he was a false prophet, Brett. I thought he was leading me towards enlightenment.
Well, how about we just say that he was a wrong choice for you to make at the time, and that, he's still around for you when you need him, but he doesn't really go towards any type of religious context or
something. Dan Aykroyd is Satan!
Nope. Sounds like Sam is back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel right as rain, you guys.
Well, that's weird, but...
Good to have you.
Let's talk about the plot of this movie, because we have to.
There was a plot?
We subjected ourselves to this movie for you, the listener, and let us not put that too lightly. We do subject ourselves to these movies, because this was a painstaking...
Hour and 53.
Yeah, this was an hour and 53 minutes. So here's the topic of this movie. There's these four people. There's Rosie O'Donnell and Dan Aykroyd as police detectives...
Her as a stripper, by the
way. Dan Aykroyd's hardly in the movie.
No.
Yeah. Like, he doesn't even get a final scene, really. He's just, like, gone and not in it. And, like, what a terrible movie for us to pick for the Dan Aykroyd
This was episodes. A very bad Dan Aykroyd movie.
Yeah, this was very bad. And, in particular, it was bad for what it could have been. Like, a movie about the four of these characters. Dan Delaney, who the fuck cares what Australian McFat, that retard face his name
was. He's the Australian Tony Danza.
He's Australian Tony Danza. We'll just call him Tony Danza.
Yeah, please.
And Tony Danza, Dane Delaney, Dan Aykroyd,
Danny O'Donnell,
Rosie O'Donnell go to this island called. They all take a vacation together.
You believe it? They go to exit to Eden.
The four of them get on a plane together. They all fly.
Rosie O'Donnell's big head is looking out the window of the airplane.
They all fly to this island. Where
that takes about 45 minutes, by the way.
Well, no, what it actually is Dan Delaney is like the leader, the lead dominatrix on this island resort thing.
Yeah, and she was just like, come on down to my island.
I'm looking for an ass, I believe she
is. And they all have to go through like orientation or whatever for this island where you just go to like submit to Danny Delaney, I guess. And Dan Aykroyd and Rosie O'Donnell are following this dude named Omar, who they say that Omar's name about a billion times.
Yeah, take a shot every time they say Omar.
This is the perfect movie if you want to get really drunk. Take a shot every time they say Omar, you'll get wasted. Omar does get his comeuppance because he has three life sentences.
If you don't want to get drunk, do a shot every time Omar does something memorable or worthwhile. I can't remember anything Omar does except for he just pops up in the end and he's like... Or is that me. Film?
We didn't even know who Omar was for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was probably like halfway through the movie, or if not longer.
I mean, basically, the movie forgets about Omar. Like, even though everyone's mentioning him the entire fucking time, nobody cares about him, and no one is, like, looking for him. Yeah. They just talk about him.
Basically,
he had to introduce himself.
You know? Yeah, he's like, and by the way, I'm Omar. Basically, like, the movie's over. They made it to, like, their dream vacation to New Orleans, and he's like, hey, I'm still here.
Well, guys, I gotta talk about the plot for the audience, okay? Yeah. So, Detective Dan Aykroyd as Fred, and, I guess I should say Dan Aykroyd
please.
As Detective Fred.
I can't handle any more of this goddamn plot!
And Rosie O'Donnell as Detective Lydia.
Can we say one thing?
Yeah.
Because I think it's very worth noting that this movie is based on a book written by Anne Rice, the writer of Interview with a Vampire, that she did under a pen name. And it did not include anything to do with a diamond necklace, film, or Dan Aykroyd, or Rosie O'Donnell.
Which is like most of this movie.
Yeah, pretty much the entire movie is just an invention for this movie.
Which makes sense in a way, because of how much this sucks.
Yeah, it's just a cheap romance novel with, like, this ridiculous, stupid plot thrown in.
It's like what I'd imagine, like, a 90s Fifty Shades of Grey, where they just were like, hey, you know what, guys? Let's add a hilarious subplot where Rosie O'Donnell and Dan Aykroyd are detectives, and they go to this island, and they get caught up in all this crazy BDSM shit, and at the end of the movie, Dan Aykroyd can have a vibrator in his backpack and be like, I'm gonna go...
using my actual wife.
My wife with this, or whatever. And so they go there, nothing happens, they stand around, they're basically all there to either get the diamonds or track down Omar, or everyone's there for something, but they basically just
no one does it though.
Yeah,
no
one does anything. They never found Omar. Omar found them.
No one does anything. All they do is get massaged and get chained up and get like they're
dressed as janitors and fix elevators.
Dan Aykroyd is dressed as Mario the janitor for most of the movie. Like
he does have a great mustache though.
He does. This was a prime Dan Aykroyd mustache. Like, if we were nominating awards for Dan Aykroyd mustache,
that would win the.
It would win the prize.
That would win the Jack Nicholson's Man Trouble Stash Award.
Well, I think Brett just spoiled the winner of one of the Aykroyd categories.
Do we really get an award that.
I should say, could win.
Yeah. I mean, Brett was going to top it, honestly. Like, what could possibly top that fine stash Dan Aykroyd was rocking in this movie? The brief moments we actually got to see him, because Rosie O'Donnell was always around. Not only was she around,
she was
narrated the movie.
Yeah, when there's scenes when she's not in it, she's in it.
She's like Omar was up to no good, doodling his poodle's pussy or whatever.
I wish Rosie O'Donnell was narrating this podcast.
Basically, this movie tried to be crazy. It wasn't near as crazy as it should have been, because it wasn't crazy at all. Mm. Yeah, but it made you try to think.
Well,
because
it has Gary Marshall as a fucking director.
No, you're right.
The middle of the road, pussy ass, piece of shit.
Boring, stupid, laid back, like non-controversial director. Gary Marshall, the first director of movies like Pretty Woman and Rambler favorite New Year's Eve.
Anything can happen on New Year's Eve.
Anything could happen on New Year's Eve. Yeah, we're going to possibly be watching New Year's Eve for our New Year's Eve season finale this year. But
when's that going to be?
I don't know, Sim. I don't have a date for it yet.
Oh, really? They're going to say New Year's Eve.
Yeah, we'll probably do it New Year's Eve, okay. I guess. And honestly, I think, I don't know if we've done this in a while, but I think, and I hate to do it for a Dan Aykroyd movie, but I officially nominate this one for a Rambler shame, shame, shame.
I can second that.
Yeah, you'll get a third.
Yeah, so this is going to go on our... when we're doing the Aykroyd Awards at the end of the year, this could win the Shame, Shame, Shame Award of the Year.
All right, Rambler. Shame,
shame, shame, shame. Yeah, to Exit to Eden.
What
because,
a paycheck.
Because it was so boring and so... Like, this movie could have been really crazy. When I went into it hoping it was going to be like a Peter Sellers type, like, physical comedy. Crazy people running around, carrying, like, vases and, like, running through glass.
There was no running around. That's the only thing I remembered about the movie was,
Brett,
like, them running around. And it never happened.
Slow fucking motion.
Because you kept building up. You were like, the ending's going to blow you guys away.
You did really hype up that ending. Right?
I thought that's what I thought happened, but like I guess like I never watched the whole movie, so I just like assumed they just ran around like this crazy place a lot in their stupid outfits.
Honestly, the thing that stands out to me right now after watching Exit to Eden, and if I may say so, Brett, if you will allow me to say so,
Brett, stop staying in this goddamn way.
Brett, do I have your permission to speak?
I'll allow it.
All right. I just can't get out of my mind Rosie O'Donnell's ass cheeks walking. There's a shot. It goes on and on of her ass cheeks just waddling back and forth, and I can't erase it. Like, there's some things in this movie you can't unsee.
They kept that shot like 5 seconds extra. I think they thought they were doing us a favor.
I don't think so. I really don't think they could have thought that. I was thinking while we were watching this, like, what must it have been like for the editor of this movie? Like, that must have been the worst experience in the world.
Yeah, having to cut, like, tie together that with something else and just, like, go over that with a fine.
They probably had to keep, like, a vomit bucket, like, in the editing lab to, like,
I think so.
For him to just. Yeah, because, Brett, you vomited at least 10 times throughout the movie.
No, I
did.
Like, it was a mess.
It was right in my ear.
It was in my guitar case. My guitar's just, like, floating around in there.
Oh, yeah, I see it. Yeah. Kind of chunky. Yeah, you know, Rosie O'Donnell, I think, is a representation of all the things that are terrible in the 90s. Like, especially the things that, like, you kind of have fond memories of, and you're like, oh, at least for me, when I think about Rosie O'Donnell, I'm like, Rosie O'Donnell, she was on the Nickelodeon Kids Choice Awards, and she was in that movie Harry the Spy, and I'm like, ooh, the 90s. But then when you see anything with Rosie O'Donnell, it's just like, ugh. Brett, I think as you put it earlier, you were like, ugh. And she's just... like this movie, she tries to be funny, and it's just like everyone in the movie is paid to laugh at the things she says literally in this movie.
Yeah, it's just a world where every single person around Rosie O'Donnell just cannot stop laughing. Like, she's in a jail cell, and she's like cracking wise these stupid ass jokes, and all these like prostitutes who are just being beaten are like, ah, ha, ha, ha.
I mean, the craziest part of the movie for me is seeing Dana Delaney's full vagina, like full on beaver. Like, that was a pretty crazy, unexpected moment for me.
I feel so sorry for Dana.
She was so hot in this movie. Like, let's talk about her for a minute because no one else does anymore. I guess you said, like, her career pretty much died after this movie because of this.
Supposedly. She was big on China Beach. She was in all 63 episodes, whatever. Mm. Another co-star with Robert Picardo.
That's interesting. Mm. Well, I mean,
who played the doctor?
She was really hot in this. I remember seeing her in House Sitter, that Steve Martin movie. And honestly, the only thing she really means to me at all is that she voiced Lois Lane on Superman the Animated Series in the 90s. But besides that, like, apparently she did a voice in Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
That's what I always think about.
Yeah, which, I mean, I remember her in that, but whatever, who cares? Anyway, Brett, like, have you ever whacked off to Dana Delaney? What's going on up there?
Never have.
Me either, but I kind of, this movie made me wish that I had.
I was kind of oblivious to her. I guess I've seen her before, but I don't know. She might have made her way up to the old spank bank.
This is the only time I've ever seen her, like, really attractive, though. And maybe it's because, like,
she was gorgeous.
Like,
she was the best part of the movie.
She had a tight body.
The movie sucked.
The movie sucked. She had a tight body, though.
Bad movie.
Yeah, she looked good in her little outfits, and so
yeah, we're hitting
the best part.
Okay, anyway, are you guys gonna read the book?
Are
you gonna go to
wait,
the source
which book
material?
Are you
Exit to Eden.
Oh God, I thought we were done with that movie.
You gonna go to source material for that?
No.
The matching compare.
I hate.
Here's something interesting. Rosie O'Donnell won the Razzie Award for worst supporting actress for this movie. So that's something.
She was tied with this and Car 54. Where Are You? And
The Flintstones.
The Flintstones. Because
Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh yeah, she definitely deserved that Razzie.
And her and Dan Aykroyd won worst screen couple, didn't they?
Were they a couple?
That's what they counted as.
Well, they shouldn't. I mean, I wanted to see them make out, but they never were there. Of all the places the movie could have gone, they never. I, you know.
I'm glad neither of them had to stoop to those.
Did we even get to see Dan Aykroyd dressed up in black leather like they teased on those?
I think.
Yeah, that one scene where
he looks
just
himself,
one
yeah.
scene.
Yeah, he's in a store.
We get each of them once, like one scene like that. I want to see.
No, you see Rosie O'Donnell a lot in that.
Well, yeah, you're right, but I wanted to see them together running around like Brett prophesied about.
Yeah, what's
like,
up with that?
Like, that's. I guess I remembered it how I wished it was. The very little that I saw. I was like, it would have been better if they were in a theme park and they were like getting chased by like Benny Hill style.
Everything I thought
like
about this movie
comes up over the brain.
Yeah, no, I guess I was watching a lot of Benny Hill back then, so I just did not remember things with chases.
Now, there's an episode of Jack of All Trades I always pictured in my head when I was thinking about this movie where he goes to a sex island exactly like this. And he was running around during this, like, weird carnival.
Jack of All Trades being Bruce Campbell's...
I just watched that whole series. I can't believe I don't remember that.
No, no.
Really? He goes to a weird sex island. Unless that was a Jack of All Trades dream I had.
No, it, like, I...
So here's a question I have for you. When were
Did you just check off the Jack of all trades?
Yeah, I just checked that off of my Rambler official notebook, which you can find on the Ramblers forum.
Can you?
No. Rosie O'Donnell, whenever the Ramblers going to watch the Rosie O'Donnell show?
I would love for an to. Episode. Can we, guys?
Would that be part of Nick and Nine Month, do you think? Or was it ever on Nick and Nine?
No.
Really? What do you say we have Talk Show Month where we watch Regis?
Please.
Rosie O'Donnell, and then Kathy Lee Gifford or something.
I felt so sorry for Rosie O'Donnell in this movie. I felt really, I know I said it before, but I felt really sorry for Rosie O'Donnell and Dana Delaney. Like,
yeah, it's not really their fault.
Mm-mm. Like Gary Marshall, a middle-of-the-road piece-of-shit director, which is like, what you're doing is great, keep doing it. And, like, he just made them be on screen and completely, like...
No, I mean, Gary Marshall was pretty...
He's a piece of shit!
John. Yeah, he's pretty lazy, and he's not, like, exactly the biggest innovative director there is working out there, but, you know, whatever. I had fun watching it with you guys for the... I mean, if I was ever going to watch this movie, I had fun. You know, we had some laughs. We laughed when Dan Aykroyd... The one legitimate laugh in the movie was when Dan Aykroyd walks in on, like, Dana Delaney and Rosie O'Donnell, like, fucking on the floor, but they're not...
No, it was Iman.
No, who gives a fuck? My version's funnier. And he's like, sorry to interrupt you, ladies, or whatever he says. That was one laugh in the movie.
I liked him on the bike.
That was classic
exit to Eden.
Gary Marshall's like, hey Dan, write it more comedically, like comedians do. Some more laughs, some yucks for the folks.
Like, I know Troma doesn't like Penny Marshall very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can have your Penny Marshall.
Yeah, or at least one movie really picks on her.
I feel really sorry for Dan Delaney. You guys.
Yeah.
I filibustered last time I was talking about it.
Put herself in this movie, and...
No, yeah, I feel like she's good, and she's, like, showing everything, like, the entire movie. And, yeah, everyone just puts themselves in a situation to make a complete fool out of themselves.
Yeah, there's nothing really worth... Like, we could go into detail talking about this movie, we could talk about everything that happens in it, but who the fuck cares why? You know, no one's gonna watch this movie.
The Dizzy Ramblers will return after these brief promotional messages.
The Dizzy Ramblers are on iTunes, man?
They're not only are they on iTunes, they're inside of iTunes. We're thrusting back and forth inside that baby right now.
How much are we charging for that shit? Like $2.99 type of deal?
That's what you'd expect.
The Dizzy Ramblers are completely ka-ching, $0.
Yeah, baby.
So,
it's a piece of shit.
Let's get to, here's something we can't talk about. Last Aykroyd Awards, Aykroyd Part 2 series, Neighbors, whatever.
Okay.
We talked about Corey Feldman's Ascension Millennium. Ooh. And basically, there was a debate raised. There was, we had a discrepancy, or a feud, as I put it in my notes. And I think it should be settled accordingly. Like, basically, some of us felt that in the Ascension Millennium music video, which we all viewed last time on the Aykroyds, it was the Feld Mansion itself in the music video.
Oh, you got
names. We've all done some reading, John. Doesn't matter who's right, who's wrong.
I didn't call anybody out on this, but Sam, I believe you swore that was not Corey Feldman's home. That was a rented Mitsubishi or whatever the energy drink company was.
Funyo.
Events have come to light. Sad photographs of Corey Feldman's birthday party appeared online of just half-naked girls standing around doing nothing and texting and no one at the party. And basically, it is Corey Feldman's house, which that's a story altogether by itself. But basically, though, Sam, do you feel ashamed?
See, I made that claim before I saw Exit to Eden, before I knew the entire world was fucked. So if I'd known that, then I would have been like, yes, Corey Feldman has that much money to have that big mansion. I hate Corey Feldman still. And you, John, for being right.
Well, I'm glad he's...
Me and Brett knew. Me and Brett knew. But I do wish
he'd been
at his birthday party. Right there, yeah.
If we ever have him on here, we're going to kick his ass.
So that's our...
No.
No.
You can kick his ass verbally, like, and it'll be fun. Dizzy Ramblers got a reputation. We gotta be able to mingle in Hollywood.
It almost goes hand in hand. It almost goes hand in hand that Corey Feldman and Dan Aykroyd are both, together on the same show because both of them
believe in the future
parts of our world. as well as the world around you. But Rosie O'Donnell is who I want on the show, for the record.
I'd love to have her on here. I would just sit and talk with her for hours.
Yeah, it's kind of sad what happened to her. Like, she just got old and fat.
Her head just got bigger and bigger.
Yeah. I remember she was on a few episodes of Nip Talk, actually. And it was interesting.
Was she trying to get them to reduce the size of her head?
No. She was just in it. Just basically doing her thing. Everyone laughed and everything. It was a musical episode. No, I'm kidding. I'm of course kidding. But back to what we were talking about. Exit to Eden sucked. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to mention anymore. Corey Feldman does live somewhere in a house.
Congratulations to Corey Feldman, yeah, might I say.
Congratulations to Corey Feldman being able to actually survive inside of a dwelling.
Yeah, I'm glad he doesn't rent a mansion for videos and live in a fucking storage unit or something.
Man, that's the world I wish I lived in. No offense to anyone who might be Corey Feldman.
Yeah, Corey Feldman, I wonder if he believes in... Yeah, I wonder if he's like Dan Aykroyd. He believes in UFOs and aliens and extraterrestrials and sci-fi phenomena and, you know, crazy shit like that. Crazy shit that we talk about in these Dan Aykroyd episodes, you know? I wonder. Give me something! Fucking asshole! No, go to stare at me. Do you think Corey Feldman believes in extraterrestrials? Yes or no?
I think Corey Feldman is only looking out for number one. I think he's looking for the comeback.
I think without a doubt, Corey Feldman believes in extraterrestrials, and the lyrics to Ascension Millennium prove it.
Well, I hope so, because like, if there's anything the Ramblers and Dan Aykroyd, of course, share, it's that their knowledge of extraterrestrial acknowledgement will lead to profit and gain of everything you desire, everything your heart desires, basically.
Yeah, like, I mean, all you gotta do is open your heart to it, baby.
Yeah. Just like a... Well, Brett, you certainly amused it yourself on that one. I wish we had a pat on the back, a little mechanical pat on the back. I'd give you one right now, Brett.
Ring that bell!
Well, anyway, I wonder what'll happen the day Rosie O'Donnell retires. That'll be a sad day for America.
Retires from what?
Living.
She's
on a beat.
She's doing like cruises now. I think she has.
What?
Yeah.
She performs like cruise performing ships? On cruises, or she just like works at it.
No, it's like a Rosie O'Donnell cruise where you can like hang out with her and her lover and several children.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
No, I'm kidding. I mean, no, I'm not kidding. It's true.
Now I'm not sure.
I'm 100% serious about
you're that. You're sounding kind of schizophrenic right now.
Well, that's...
Makes me think about a certain someone I know.
Rosie O'Donnell?
No,
Roseanne Barr?
Someone that means a lot to me. Brett.
Me?
Brett, you have mental illness.
Brett, help me out here. I want to...
Man the peace, man the peace. Everybody's looking for a man the peace.
Amanda, facing possibly up to a year of being committed. She's at least going to be under the conservatorship of her mother for 2 months, and, yeah, she could be locked up for like a year, and basically I think it's a dark day for me and for everyone. I think everyone should feel very upset about this, because Amanda needs to be out on the street, doing her thing, making people laugh, tweeting, you know, obscene and crazy things at celebrities, and telling Rihanna she's, you know, like, ugly, and that if she wasn't so annoying, Chris Brown wouldn't beat her and stuff, and like... You know, like, I think Amanda...
I feel like she might be good institutionalized, John.
Amanda needs to be out. She needs to be out there, like, living loud, living
saying
proud.
What we're all thinking.
Yeah, she's the voice of a new generation.
I mean, I'd have to agree with you, honestly. I think I would agree with both of you and your love of Amanda Bynes, because...
What, did I say that?
She does have a certain, like... She does have a certain...
Je ne sais quoi.
Dude, that's the word I was looking for, yeah. Je ne sais quoi. I don't know. It breaks my heart that she is locked up right now. You know, like, what the fuck am I going to talk about if she's in jail? We're going to have to... This could be the last Amanda Police segment we ever do, basically.
Nah, she'll turn into the Joker. What song is that?
I don't know. That's just me, like, playing a celebration horn.
you should do taps instead.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just... What else can we say?
Now, I'm going to put her in the Rosie O'Donnell, Dana Delaney category. I feel sorry for Amanda Bynes. That's her name, right? Amanda Bynes?
Yes. That has always been her name.
Well, I feel sorry for her.
Yeah, I wish her the best.
Well, Brett, I guess close out.
I'm not going to go that far.
Well, I hope she finds peace. In death.
No, we all love you, Amanda. Yeah. If you're listening to this, if by any chance the Disney Ramblers are just one of the voices in your head,
or if that's part of your therapy to play
happy hunting. Of us.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what else can we say? Like, this could be the last Amanda Please segment that we ever do, and
Amanda Please.
Yeah, it's not funny anymore.
Amanda Please, everybody's looking for Amanda Please.
Check that one.
I'm gonna check off the old Amanda Please segment one last time, final time.
Do you have any? Do you actually have any last thoughts about Amanda? If this is actually gonna be your potential last appearance with the Amanda Please.
Well, I already closed out the segment, but I mean, I pretty much already summarized how I felt. Like I've always loved Amanda Bynes. Mm-hmm. I legitimately hope that she gets help, and you know, I mean, I don't know what her deal is. I don't know what she's going through exactly, but we've all been there. Like, honestly, me, John Shaw, I'm reaching out, I'm saying, hey, Amanda, if you want to just kick it, like, throw some bongs out windows or off some, you know, floors of balcony somewhere, hit people with it, like, I'm there for you, girl. Like, me and you, like, yeah, that would be such a kick-ass night out in the town, I think. Like, me and Amanda, just chilling, just hanging out.
Well, she might come out all, you know, mellowed out, so
yeah, definitely.
Maybe you should not offer to, you know, throw bongs out windows with her, but to, you know, take her out to a nice special dinner or something.
Yeah, like, I'd love to take Amanda out to dinner. Like, even Cat Face Amanda, I'd love to take her out.
Something so disturbing.
I know, she looks weird, but I just imagine I was out taking to dinner like an Egyptian goddess, like, half cat, half human, like...
They did have her face drawn on pyramid walls.
Yeah, and I think that would be a delightful night. She'd eat, like, probably, like, a noodle, so it'd be a cheap meal. And,
you can go as slow as you want.
Little man trouble. Little Jack Nicholson man trouble reference there for you. But yeah, no. Amanda Bynes has always been very meaningful to
just
me.
Just bury her. I'm sorry. This is disturbing.
No, it's alright. I hope Amanda finds peace. In the afterlife. And in this life.
No, man, it's hard to deal with talk shows and stuff who've made her into a punchline for the last, like, 6 months.
Like the Disney Ramblers.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but the fact that she's, like, legitimately in need of, like, mental health. It's really hurting her. Like, it's pretty weird that, I don't know. I wonder if there's going to be any more mention of her in headlines at all, or if everyone's going to feel kind of ashamed.
Well, I'm sure it'll all work out. Well, yeah, right, close out the old Amanda, please.
I already did.
Well, his guitar was all covered in puke from what he puked on earlier.
Right. No one deserves to hear that.
The great editor in the sky is the decider of that.
Agreed.
I'll kill you.
Hey, we only
he can kill you. You can turn this into the Sam and Brett show.
We'll see what the listeners have to say about that.
Oh, what a show that would be.
I can never do that on the podcast. I can't get through one without my
hand. You had a lot of needs for that on the podcast.
Sound effects, baby.
That's what most of the forum letters have been about.
Like, when's Brett finally going to do it? Oh, how those Rambler forum lights have been lighting up. You know that little tiny light they've installed on the back of our necks that go off.
My shirt caught on fire the other day.
Yeah, you know, we tried to lighten things up with this whole, like, exit to Eden, Dan Aykroyd, no rainy days, like, cheerful attitude podcast, but honestly, like, I think I prefer the disturbing one, because this is, like, disturbing in a way, a whole different way. That,
yeah, like, exit Eden was a false prophet. It was a very disturbing
episode. No, it was.
This
was
is a very upsetting prophet. Episode.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the Aykroyd Christ that you...
That's what I'm talking about.
You know, maybe it was the anti-Aykroyd Christ that you prophesied about a few episodes back.
This is a dark episode, you guys. I think if we don't watch ourselves, we can slip into some really disturbing territory.
No, I think when... I'm going to be talking about some upcoming stuff we have. Mm-hmm. And one of the things is Aykroyd Part 4, which will be our last...
I hope we redeem ourselves.
No, we will. It will be our last Dan Aykroyd viewed movie of the year. And we're probably going to do this all over again next year, and, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun.
If we make it, if we're alive.
If we're still alive. Mm. But we're going to do the Aykroyd Awards at the end of the year, which we're legitimate prizes are going to be given out. We're going to have a lot of categories. We're going to have a lot of guests. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be sometime towards the end of the year. And the fourth Aykroyd part is actually going to be Dr. Detroit, which hopefully will be much more enjoyable. It could be a legitimately good... I mean, it's 1983.
It might suck.
It could suck, but it could be a legitimately fun, good...
Hey, he's on roller skates in it. How could it suck?
I think it's well-liked, I think.
I hope so.
It's got Fran Drescher.
Yeah. That's cool.
She might not be using the voice.
Speaking of
voice... I like Fran Drescher and the voice.
I don't like either.
Well, speaking of Dan Aykroyd, who, because he's in... Exit to Eden so seldomly. We really haven't had much opportunity to talk about Dan Aykroyd because, like, what do we have to say?
And
about?
Let's while we talked about Exit to Eden, I'm glad we kept him away from that. Really,
yeah, you're right. It soiled the good name of Dan Aykroyd.
I guess the '90s are paycheck land for Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, we should mention before we go any further. This is the third part. Well, I guess technically it's kind of the second part. Of the series of what you would need to listen to for this contest, but we're doing this Aykroyd contest. Each episode, we say a phrase. We did not say it in the part one, but part two, Neighbors, part three, this, Exit to Eden, and then part four in the future, Dr. Detroit, or maybe by the time you're listening to this, it'll already be out. All of those have a phrase that each of us says once during the episode. Throughout the course of the episode, we say this phrase once. We might have already said it once or more tonight. Who knows? Because we're not telling you what the phrase is. But if you tell us the phrase that we say once each in every...
You're doing so good.
Yeah, no, get it.
Yeah.
In every Dan Aykroyd episode... then you will win a delightful prize at the end of the year. You have to email us, or you have to send us something on the Ramblers forum, so you have to do a little bit of work, but all that requires is a computer and some typing skills, which, based on the letters we've been getting so far, none of you have. So that's the contest we're doing. I didn't think I could say all that, because the scrolls prophesied that only Brett could translate the official rules, but the Beat Drew Smith Award contest is still going.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Last time we did a Dan Aykroyd episode, in a much...
Oh, no, you're not about to do what I think you're about to do, are you?
I'm about to do it, because I feel like we've gone so dark, we've promoted some things. Let's talk about why we're really here. Tell me what conspiracy theories you guys have learned.
Oh, no.
I think last time we were here for the Dan Aykroyd podcast... we all kind of opened our souls and talked about some disturbing extraterrestrial encounters. And this time I'd like to hear about some disturbing, true conspiracy theories.
Well, okay. Like, the original challenge was, I believe, more along the lines of, like, a government conspiracy theory. And that's where I started out.
Mm-hmm.
But where it led...
Well, you failed.
...was terrifying. No, basically, I got enveloped into the world of Scientology.
Oh!
Nice. And basically what happened was, I am no longer one of you.
Nice.
I am now one of... No, what happened was, I just kept coming across things and just kept diving deeper and deeper.
Mm.
And I don't even think I can talk about a lot of what I want to talk about. But the thing that I bring to the table specifically... was something called Operation Snow White. Are either of you familiar with that?
I haven't heard of it, no.
Whoa, okay, wow. Well, then, basically, I'm going to recount this. So, Operation Snow White is considered the largest infiltration of the U.S. government in history. Wait, so I was very surprised that you hadn't, this wasn't familiar to you, because normally you know all about this. And essentially what happened was, it was in the 70s, of course, when all the crazy stuff happened. And somewhere around 5,000 of Scientology's commandos and employees wiretapped and burglarized various agencies, like everywhere. 136 organizations total, foreign and domestic, infiltrated during this. And basically what it was the L. Ron Hubbard and some other high-ups in the religion or government or organization, whatever you'd like to call it, were unsatisfied or didn't like how they were being portrayed and wanted to permanently destroy, like, certain documents and certain just, like, I guess, I don't know, recordings or whatever scattered around. Mm-hmm. And so they planted, like, all these people everywhere and then, like, had all these other people infiltrate and just for the purposes of destroying, like, all these documents and stuff. And then eventually they were found out and the church, like, some people got caught and other people, like, kind of, I guess, confessed or something. And the church denied it. And then some of the operatives were arrested, and the church kidnapped one of the operatives who was arrested and prevented him from testifying. I couldn't find, like, what exactly that meant, but now the church refuses, like, everyone got 5 years who was, like, arrested for whatever. Everyone got, like, 5 years for whatever the fuck. L. Ron Hubbard escaped and went into hiding, and he stayed in hiding till his death, which I knew that, but I didn't know that it was because of this.
Yeah, I had no idea either.
And basically all the people who were in jail for 5 years got out, and then the church let a lot of them back in and claimed that they had to undergo rehabilitation from the church in order to resume their upper level training in the church. And they refuse to talk about it now, really, except that they say that they purged everyone involved. So, a little lost lingo there for you. And basically, Operation Snow White exposed this other thing called Operation Freakout.
What does that mean?
It's not quite as crazy as it sounds.
Oh, okay.
It's not quite as crazy as it sounds. But Operation Freakout was
to distract people from Snow White.
The Church of Scientology's attempts to have U.S. author Paulette Cooper either jailed or put in a mental institution or murdered because she was coming out with a book that was called, like, something something Scientology, and it was said a lot of unsavory things about Scientology, and they didn't like it, so this was, like, really creepy to me. They had someone, like, or a bunch of people, and somehow this plan didn't work. I don't remember how, but what they're actually initially, I think, their major phase of their plan was to plant someone in her apartment and, like, who imitated her voice and, like, called. I can't remember if this actually happened or if it was just a plan, but they were going to call the president, someone in Iran or something, and, like, someone else, and, like, threaten the lives of, like, all those people, and, like, I try to frame her, I guess, for doing this, and, like, I don't know, just, to me, I pictured, like, little aliens in your house, like, imitating your voice and framing you for it, and that's what creeped me out. But, because Scientology's all aliens, and, you know, Dan Aykroyd and Tom Cruise know that.
Yes.
I couldn't believe any of that. That was crazy to me.
No, Scientology's a very disturbing cult to me, and I feel like...
especially with evidence coming to light recently of the wife being dead for years or whatever, missing.
Or, yeah, whatever's going on with that. And then, I mean, they basically have people who are just, like, indentured servants or kind of, like, slaves who are constantly working and living in their facility and not getting paid any money and just doing it so they can eventually get some sort of advancement.
Yeah.
But it's very disturbing to think that any sort of cult like that could exist in our world, you guys. And it's very disturbing to think about what would happen. Well, it's very disturbing to think about what would happen. That's only been around for about 50 years, but it's very disturbing to think about what would happen if that kind of cult was around for thousands of years.
Yeah. Right? Like the Aykroyds.
Like the Aykroyds, written in the Sphinx.
Yeah, that's... I mean, it's kind of creepy, and I kind of feel like our challenge for the part four of the final Aykroyds of this year should be something related to Scientology, because I feel like there's a lot of creepy things going on there that we could... Like I said, I started diving into this, and I barely scratched the surface. Like, there were so many links and so many things I could have followed this through, where I just feel like Like, I want to know more about, like, the evidence. Who was it? Leah Remini or, like, someone like that who, like,
yeah,
came out and she was like, his wife is missing. She's been dead for years or something. Like.
She nagged him just like Kevin James.
Uh-huh. Man, Kevin James.
Because she was the wife on...
Oh, I know. Okay. King of Queens. That takes it back.
Very disturbing.
Disturbing Scientology story. Yeah. That sounds like a reasonable thing to do.
Creepy.
Sounds like a reasonable thing to ramble about, right?
Yeah. Hey, that's what we're here for.
So, I put that together. I hope that satisfies you. I can't believe you didn't know about the largest government infiltration in history, but...
I'll tell you one thing, John. I don't want to represent the Ramblers, but just for me, I'm going to keep on exposing truths about Scientology until, they can advance me in Hollywood, and then I'll stop talking about them completely and just be a mindless follower. No, seriously, I'll do that. I'll do that, definitely, without a doubt. If you give me the chance, I'll do that Scientology.
Well, congratulations, I guess.
Brett, you had a little conspiracy theory you researched yourself, didn't you?
I do.
This week's episode is sponsored by My Family's Home Cooking.
I think we deliver what other podcasts wouldn't.
Some balls
in there in your spaghetti.
Oh my god. My mom makes balls. The best meatballs. It really does. Right. Have you had my mom's meatballs, Brett?
I think I have, yeah.
Pretty good.
Everything your mom makes is real tasty.
She's good, yeah. I'd compliment both my mother and my father on being good cooks. Manja! You're not gonna get any of it, audience, but I enjoy it, so fuck off.
Yeah, I get on it sometimes too. It's good home cooking.
Bet you wish you could have that.
That's good pee.
He's back.
Brett's back.
We're back. This is your place, we're back. We're back.
Wa-bam, if I may.
Wa-bam.
To coin a phrase, wa-bam.
Bam.
To coin a phrase which has never been coined before.
A John Shaw original.
I've wa-bammed people now. Like, you've got me wa-bamming people.
Oh my god, we're not going to do that, are we? We're not going to steal that guy's wa-bam, are we?
Awesome, Brett. I love it. I'm very excited, Brett, every time you have a song to play, you know that, and I can't wait to hear it.
Last time in the Dan Aykroyd episode, when we did this segment, I was moved to tears, and I hope that you moved me to tears with this song, Brett. Not too much pressure to put on you, but I really hope I cry during this.
Alright, guys, I'm back. I'm ready to play a song for you guys. Alright, let's get the guitar here. Oh!
No.
Something's happened to my body! Hey, you guys! The Ramblers, right? That's John there! And we got Sam, hey, what's up?
I hate the spirit of rock and roll so much.
Yes!
Oh, God.
No! Really?
I'm gonna go have a cigarette. I don't smoke.
Don't bring the spirit of rock and roll in here. We'll kick his ass out of the studio faster than David Lenny's career.
Feed me that aid, baby! I love it! I got a little rock and roll song I whipped up for you because Brett had nothing. Alright. 1, 2, 3, 4! Listen up, all you good little Catholics. Cause the spirit of rock and roll's got some news to tell ya.
Crazy.
Where's the proof? The proof is in his earlobe.
earlobes. Now, I don't know about you, people don't just up and change earlobe styles. I mean, I guess some people do. They just gauge them. Or maybe they rigged that whole stupid Pope election. Huh? But either way, keep an eye on him. Keep an eye on him. Keep an eye on him. When you're not looking, when you're not looking, when you're not looking, when you're not looking, they're gonna kidnap the Pope. They're gonna kidnap. Abortion, gay people. Come to think of it, that Pope gig ain't so bad. Look out, Vatican! Here I come! I'm gonna switch lives with the Pope. I'm gonna switch lives with the Pope. Ramblers fans know it ain't no joke. Yeah, Brett's switching lives with the Pope. Ah.
All right, Brett.
Switching lives rock and roll
with the Pope.
Wow.
Get out of here, Spirit of Rock and Roll. Even though it was a great performance. Great performance.
That was too good.
Imposter. I feel like I'm on David Letterman. Imposter. Anyway, that was fantastic, Brett. That's a nice way to let people know the scary things and chameleons that are replacing their Pope.
Another true conspiracy.
Brought to you by the Dizzy Ramblers.
And yes, I did cry, Brett.
It was very good, very good.
Thank you.
You know, we wouldn't be doing this podcast without Dan Aykroyd.
Without the Pope. Oh, sorry.
We wouldn't be doing this podcast without Dan Aykroyd on Seriousness, because it really wouldn't be a Dan Aykroyd podcast without Dan Aykroyd's Crystal Skullhead Vodka.
Which, oh, thank God.
We've had it time and time again. It's delicious. We really wouldn't be here each
time. I think it gave me permanent brain damage. I just feel like I'm still drinking his Crystal Skullhead Vodka.
No, I mean, yeah, I'll say it once, I'll say it again. I'm a vodka guy, and I put Dan Aykroyd's Crystal Skullhead Vodka right at the top.
The best.
The best, it really is.
Yeah, no, I'm not a vodka guy, and I liked it.
Same here. I was kidding about brain damage, you guys. I don't think it gave me brain damage. It's got me drunk, like alcohol should.
Wow, but anyway, yeah. Dan Aykroyd's a great man. He actually, I love the key to good vodka, we found out, was actually thrice filtering your vodka through diamonds.
I'm pretty sure he stole those diamonds from the set of Exit to Eden.
You know, he did steal them from the set of Exit to Eden. Anyone involved in the plot?
Yeah, because they never came up again.
Whatever happened to those diamonds in that movie?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to those diamonds? Did they just, like, drop them in the river or something?
I don't know, like, it's, whatever.
We never know what happens with anything in the movie, because they never really explain it.
It was billed to me as a movie that involved a missing set of diamonds, and it was not about that
at all. It was billed to me as, like, a movie
where are the diamonds?
Yeah.
You said it was the tagline.
I was wondering...
Who's got the diamonds?
For the frivolity and the hilarity that I...
Diamonds come out of Rosie O'Donnell's pussy?
Dan Aykroyd's
spread eagle. Rosie O'Donnell was spread eagle so many times in that movie, I'm sorry.
Dan Aykroyd's in a movie called Diamonds.
Is he?
Kirk Douglas.
Man, he's got a diamond obsession.
Anyway,
Diamonds are an Aykroyd's best friend.
Diamonds are an Aykroyd's best friend. You're right about that one, all right.
He's like, don't I know it? He tosses him up in the bathtub he's in, filled with $100 bills.
I like to imagine he has a Scrooge McDuck type situation going on.
Yeah, he's got a monocle and his top hat, smoking a cigar, and splashing people with
it. Yeah, surely, no, surely if Corey Feldman can afford that goddamn mansion, then Dan Aykroyd can have a tub full of diamonds.
I was just thinking, like, how come, it's Corey Feldman's Ascension Millennium, like, why can't we kind of Dan Aykroyd do a music video of his own? Like,
oh, I'm sure he has Blues Brothers music videos.
talked about that?
No, but I mean, like, an actual, like, alien, like,
UFO. Oh, no, that, oh my god, that actually would be, that'd be really awesome.
Have we talked about Corey Feldman's new video?
Oh, the... Have you seen it, John?
Yeah, I guess we should talk about that.
Yeah, it sucks that we have to.
I saw it.
Yeah, no, it's really nothing.
It's not like, really much of anything.
Yeah.
It really is just a fart. Like, yeah. They happen to be filming something, and he's like, I guess put it together with something that I accidentally recorded.
I mean, it's appropriate that we would be talking about it with XCP because both of those are basically farts that someone was just like...
People will pay for it.
Here's something. Mm-hmm. It's just as timely as Ascension Millennium. Like, this is like 13 years late for like year 2000, and like, and he's running around in a Santa outfit throughout.
Oh, he is running around in a Santa outfit. That's the one amusing part of
it. It's his Christmas party, yeah. For some reason, they're releasing
it. Like, why didn't they just edit out the Santa stuff and put in like. Something with him in like a bathing suit and be like, it's a pool party instead of a Christmas party.
Or just wait to release until Christmas. Yeah. Like, well, that was so hot they had to release it right now. They're like, the audience for this demands it right now. We can't wait
that
another
was the
fucking
first edit. That was the rough draft. He's like, go ahead, put it out.
Yeah, we just couldn't wait. I mean, Ascension Millennium's off the charts.
They're demanding it.
And,
I love Ascension Millennium.
No, same here.
We all love Ascension Millennium. It means a lot to all of us, and
I do recommend it wholeheartedly.
It's just like nothing.
Yeah, that's like not like I mean, what is it? It's like not even a song.
Duh.
And,
that's what they're saying over and over again. Yeah. These stupid whores going duh.
That was like I promise you I'd put you in a song.
Mm-hmm. And we're not like seriously. That's I'm not being sexist. It's just a bunch of like
whores.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of whores that he has in his house.
Yeah,
the whores who pays to be there. He has record things.
They just text.
Yeah, all they do is just stand around all day and text. They just text. Just stay in the corner and text.
And he's like, can you just say duh for a second?
He had to try. They're like, duh.
Duh.
No, it's duh. I don't know how you're getting it wrong.
This world today, tell you what, Exit to Eden, duh.
This is the world that Dan Aykroyd was, like, duh is what Dan Aykroyd was scared of in that movie.
That's true. Dan Aykroyd was the only person who was,
in Exit to Eden. He was the only one who was, like, normal and kind of, like...
Where is this leading us?
Yeah.
Where are we going with all this garbage?
Corey Feldman music video, duh.
Yeah.
Even though he did get sexual as the movie went on, I liked him. I liked his character. I'll say that.
Good for him.
Good for him and good for his mustache.
Great for his mustache.
Great mustache.
I hear whispers it might win the Jack Nicholson Man Trouble Stash, whatever.
Well, special thanks to those guys at Black Lives Video who had the good sense to carry movies where Dan Aykroyd does not dress up in leather.
Very disturbing movie, you guys. Duh.
Duh.
Duh. Can I start saying that all the time now?
Duh.
Duh.
Black Lodge Video at 831 South Cooper, noon to midnight every day.
Best damn video store in the world.
Yep. Even Dan Aykroyd would be happy to
park his mustache there.
And that's a big like wood.
that is a big wood. It is. And it's Dan Aykroyd's penises in Exit Eating because someone in the character says he has a big day.
They do. Yeah. That's one character trait. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
when she's giving, when that doctor who never comes back in again.
Oh, that's right.
The doctor's in the first 15 minutes a bunch, and she's like,
I don't remember any doctor.
Well, she was left back in the city.
No, she was on the island. Yeah.
Well, no one got sick.
One last thing I want to talk about with the movie is the butt.
The butt scene. Everyone wants to talk about the butt scene.
Dana Delaney loves butts.
She does.
And yeah, that's the only thing she talks about, really.
Take a shot every time they say Omar, and take a shot every time she says butt.
Every time she spanks the dude's butt.
Yeah, butt.
She has the dude pinned up, chained up, like his arms times. Are stretched apart. And she's like, you know what I really like? I like butts. And she's like,
I want to lick your butt.
She grabs his ass, and then she's like, butts are the best. And then she really does say butt about five times.
Big ample butt.
And I feel like it should have been a recurring motif throughout the movie. I feel like his butt should have been a joke that they relied upon more often, because he had a very nice butt.
Yeah, he had the Bruce Campbell chin of butts.
I know we don't throw the B word around very often on the podcast, but
yeah, they should have made it a character. Like,
I mean, it basically was like for a while there on the island. Can we just say one more thing too?
That was his defining character trait, was the butt.
Yeah, I think his ass had more lines than he did. I'm pretty sure.
Yes, and that's my interesting fact from the movie to bring to the table, was Dan Delaney's love of butts. I bet what you're going to talk about is the elusive island.
No, yeah, I'd like to just say that lest anyone think that this is a movie about people going to an island and running around on a goddamn island, that don't happen. It's like Jason Takes Manhattan. They go to the island, and then they leave the island. And you're like, hey, what about the island? Wasn't there a sex island you guys could be in right now?
We're actually on the island for a while, but you would never know it. It could be anywhere.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's weird because all of a sudden they're just like, Louisiana is weird. New Orleans is crazy. Oh,
the way the island is introduced is they're all on a ship, and they're like, take off your clothes. And you're like, you're completely submissive to us from now on. And then, like, it's like this gigantic fucking deal to get to this crazy sex island.
You think they're gonna be like there without, not allowed to leave?
Yeah.
You had to row to get there.
Yeah, exactly. It was the craziest build up to an island ever. Not since King Kong did they build up a fucking island. And like,
it was like a good half hour before they even went there.
Yeah.
It was like showing Dan Aykroyd and Rosie O'Donnell packing.
This was like Peter Jackson's King Kong. They built up going to that island so fucking much.
It really was.
Oh my god. No, really, seriously. Was. And it did not deliver. Like, once they got there, it might as well have been just like, not even like a 1950s nudist film. Like, not even that.
Well, it did have a fair amount of nudity every now and then. Like, you got to see some tits and vagina, and that was nice.
But I feel like I don't know.
It really, like, there was nothing, like, hot about it.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it didn't have anything to do
with anything. There's a bunch of sad characters. Think about their parents.
Yeah.
It didn't have anything to do with anything. You're right. But Gary Marshall knows how to light up a vagina. I'll say that.
Wait, can we talk about the part where she, I forgot this happened. She has him go down on all fours, and then she puts her butt on him, right?
Yeah,
doesn't that,
like,
happen?
She's like, how does my butt on you?
That's the first sexual thing that happens in the movie, and right then I was like, well, that's an odd thing to happen, and I should have known that, like,
doesn't it happen? I feel like that's the final scene.
That's the first time, like, she comes out of the pool naked or whatever,
right.
and she's like, get down on your
knees.
She's
like, you like it so much, why don't you put it on your back?
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, she would have to say that.
And she puts her butt on his back. And she's like, how do you like the feel of my butt on your back? And the other girl's watching, like, oh, yeah.
She was, like, fucking the fence.
The blonde girl's always watching. She's always behind a bush, like, literally behind
a drapes. Or
drapes. Or a wall.
Mm-hmm.
Despite their anti-voyeuristic,
Yeah, their one rule, no voyeurism. Which Omar... Honestly, you guys, I could talk about this movie for years.
What?
I want to do, like, Roger Ebert and just take this movie shot by shot for 9 hours.
Yeah, the critics were not fond of this movie.
Mm-mm.
As
they shouldn't have been. Yeah, thank God there was nobody who's like,
people and the critics knew that this movie sucked. There was no doubt about it.
We'd love to give you an underdog story, but we have to agree this movie sucks, Dick.
Rambler corrections. Things that we've said that
I don't think we should ever be held accountable, John.
Things that we've said that are no longer true.
Oh, whose mess are you cleaning up?
No, it's no one's mess. We just changed them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think you'd, like, go wipe somebody's ass for something they said.
No, we just changed.
Brett is not gonna.
Brett is not gonna be allowed to podcast anymore.
He's not gonna be the new pope.
We.
And I, yeah.
No. It's nothing that official or anything. We just moved some dates back. Oh, we had some corrections and some things changed around. Basically, at one point in time, the Ackroyds Part 2, we mentioned that the Naked Night Month would air this year, and we're moving it back to next year because we just don't have the time. We simply don't have the time for it. But trust
me, we've got too many goddamn good episodes to give out. You don't want to see our Nick at Night yet. Wait for it.
We need to craft it and perfectly churn it like a pot.
Like Dick Van Dyke sitting around a table with multiple Dick Van Dykes all nodding their heads and agreeing that it was a good idea.
You can imagine a world where that is possible. That is what's coming to you. And Jesse Davis will be sitting there witnessing it with us. But he won't be there every week for Nick and I month. Only Dick Van Dyke. Or maybe he will. Maybe we should try to get Jesse Davis, subject him to Nick and I month every
week. I would love to force him watch a bunch of...
Arlo Goldtrotters on Gilbert Island is going to be one. And then
Undetermined... That sounds incredible.
Undetermined third Nick and I month movie. Another thing that we've been talking about... And we will do it, trust me, audience, but the Tron sleepover is going to happen. We just have to get all these people in the same place at the same time. John, Sam, Brett, Charlie Metz, Jesse Davis, and Nathan Murphy.
It's like dealing with plutonium.
It is. It's that hard to schedule all these people to get together in my house in the same night in sleeping bags together.
Is it okay if I watch your parents sleep instead of watch Tron that night?
Yeah, that's perfectly all right. Sweet. As long as you talk about it on the podcast when we come back from the break, when our alarm clock goes off and we all wake up.
What happens when the Tron sleepover gets shared with the world?
Yeah.
No, there is a little bit of controversy to talk about.
Controversy?
Some controversy?
Controversy, yeah. We've talked about having Brittany Brown on the show.
Din, 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 din.
And we actually, here's what's going on, audience. We're going to break it down for you now. We recorded an episode with her, and it's actually so controversial.
It's too hot to handle.
Too hot to handle that we're having to wait to release it till 4:20. And that's just the day it fell on.
That's the only available slot.
The only available slot next year, which you already have mapped out every week.
Mm-hmm.
So you can look for Brittany Brown's controversial, too hot to be aired episode, 4:20 of 2014.
How
hot? And we're actually going to have Brittany Brown on again, and... she'll possibly bring a friend with her, and that's going to be a fun show to do, I think. That's going to be a fun night in the studio. A hot pizza pie. So those are coming up. But what I'm most excited about is what is coming up very, very soon. The month of October is going to be Halloween month in the Dizzy Rambler studio. Brett, I can tell you're excited over there. You look like so eager. No, what we're going to be doing is we're going to do four Halloween shows that month. We're going to do first, second, third week, a month of horror and fright. It's going to be filled with films of franchises such as Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, and Halloween. We're going to start it off with a Nightmare on Elm Street feature that really connects the Rambler to their roots. And then Friday the 13th and Halloween will follow. Not the originals, but a classic sequel. And then the final week, Halloween week, will be a big Halloween special show. Monsters and characters come together. Two top secret to talk about. But actually, the best part is Rambler guest Richard A. Lester, author of The Checkout, is actually going to be sitting in with us the first 3 weeks watching a Friday, Elm Street, and Halloween sequel with us. And... he's gonna have a lot to say about it, and I want to
be better.
Yeah, no, and I want to talk about The Checkout real fast because it's actually, since we've last talked about it, it's in bookstores now. It's going hot off the shelves.
You can get it on Amazon.
You can get it on Amazon as well if you're into that type of thing, which is perfectly fine if you are. But for real, if you want a hard paper copy, which I prefer, find it at the booksellers at Laurelwood. If you live in Memphis, that's at Poplar and Perkins. And, you know, I read The Checkout before it was out. I got a copy of it, and it took me about 2 weeks. What was great about The Checkout was it was a quick, fun, entertaining read. And the chapters, this is what I really love. The chapters are so short that you can really just read it any time. Like, if you're on break at work and you don't have, forever, if you want to just read it, while you're taking a shit. If you want to, I don't know how many chapters there are, but you could probably budget it out, many shits. Is how long it's going to take you to read The Checkout.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Say I take a big, horrible shit every morning. Say I stay up until, 2 a.m. every night watching The West Wing and eating shredded wheat.
Mm-hmm.
How many chapters do you think I could get through of The Checkout?
I bet you could get through a bunch. You could probably read that book in, a week.
Oh, man. I think I just might do that.
You should. Let me ask. Are these horrible shit screamers?
Yeah, no, I black out from pain. Wow. Just kidding. It's all smooth sailing.
And that's the type of shenanigans and Jarvie lingo you can expect at the checkout.
Yeah, we'd like to say that if you like us talking about feces, you'll love the checkout. No, but really. I'm not kidding about that.
Check it out.
You've never had a shit in your life?
Oh, no, I do shit every morning, violently.
Well, anyway, you can feel free to read the checkout when you're not taking shit as well, if you that's your type of thing. But, it's really, no, the short chapters really are appealing to me, because I hate a book where it's, like, 40 fucking pages, and you're like, I like to get to a stopping point.
Fuck like, you know, Norman Mailer.
Some, if I'm in a Stephen King book, and I'm reading it, it just goes on and on, it's like, I gotta keep reading, I don't have time for this, I don't have time for this! Get to it, Stephen King, I don't need to hear all this. That's what Richard Lester gets right to the point. He kicks Stephen King in the balls and is just like, here's what's going on, here's what's happening, you don't need to know about this person's grandfather. We're gonna get to the point in the plot, you know,
to entertain you read. With words.
And it's entertaining. I like when he refers to it as a what's he like to call it, a erotic thriller. No,
the exit to Eden of books. If you can Rice, imagine,
Anne Rice would weep if she'd rather check out. No, what is it? He calls it a zany, a satirical thriller. Thank you. Yeah, I like how Richard had looked reversed.
Sorry.
Oh, man. I like how Richard Lester refers to his book, a satirical thriller, and that's exactly what it is. And, yeah, pick it up, check it out, download it, do whatever you need to do.
Coen Brothers-esque, would you say?
Yeah, I would say a little Coen Brothers-esque, actually. Yeah, definitely. It's in that realm. But anyway, back to what we were talking about, the author of the checkout is going to be sitting in studio with us the first 3 weeks of Halloween month. It's going to be a great month. We're very close to it. We're in September now. Summer's almost dead and out of here. Mm-hmm. Going to take out the back, shoot it, bury it, and that's going to be it for summer 2013. Yeah. And I think summer 2014 is going to be a lot more exciting. We're going to do... This is the last thing I'll tease. Tonight. Okay?
Can you tell me?
Summer Games Month was so popular.
People stop me in the street all the time about that.
We're gonna do it all over again.
Please.
We'll of course do Dungeons and Dragons, and we're gonna do an undetermined third game. But one of the games that we're gonna do, the whispers around the office, around the studio, something about Mr. Bucket.
I was hoping so.
With balls in my mouth, Mr. Bucket.
Balls come out of my mouth.
Yep. So anyway, that's the last thing I'll tease. But that's a long way off. That's almost a year in the future.
That's like a post-credits tease right there. Like, that should be...
Samuel Jackson walking out.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, Samuel Jackson should be telling you that we're going to be popping balls out of Mr. Bucket's mouth in 2014.
That's the arc of the Dizzy Ramblers.
Second annual Summer Games. Or 74th annual, if that's what we said originally. But anyway, that's some stuff you can look forward to. Don't worry, Naked 9 Month will happen. Brittany Brown will return, even though you never heard her in the first place. But you will on 420, you'll get the untold. It's like how in Darkwing Duck, they did all the episodes, and then they released them in a different order than their chronological, you know, production order. And so that's why villains you would get to see before they were even explained who they were. The Disney Ramblers are a lot like that. Brittany Brown's a lot like a Darkwing Duck villain. You don't know much about her yet, but you slowly get to unravel the pieces. Anyway, Brett, are you looking forward to some of that? What do you think about Halloween month? Are you as pumped as me and Sam?
I'm looking forward to Halloween month.
That's good. I can feel the enthusiasm.
Brett, you're excited about this whole Disney Ramblers package.
Brett's the most mellow I've ever seen him. That spirit of rock and roll really sucked the life force out of you. Like, you really...
I feel drained after I...
You feel like...
get possessed by the spirit of rock
and roll. You know, I want to see someone come in Exit.
What?
I want to
Nobody
see
game.
Someone... Speaking of getting drained...
Nobody came.
No,
she... Getting drained, like, I really wanted to see...
Oh, Vandalay, yeah, but she got eaten.
She had an orgasm. Vandalay, she got to... Yeah.
But, I mean, I want to see a male ejaculate, is what I'm saying. I want Dan Aykroyd to be...
Whoa! He just comes out
as a... Yeah, like
his diary that he kept. He's like, oh!
Help yourself.
I still can't believe Rosie O'Donnell narrated the whole movie.
Neither can I. I really can't believe that. That's insane. The book, just for the record.
Rosie narrated the Flintstones.
That was about that time that, whatever.
Barney Boy.
The adoption agency. No, but just for posterity, the book is narrated by the Dan, whatever the fuck her name is, Dana Delany.
Dana Delany narrates the book?
I mean, that character does. Like, it's told from her point of view, not Rosie O'Donnell's.
Oh, you mean in the book, Delaney's character. I thought you meant Dan Delany narrating the audiobook version of Exit to Eden.
Why wouldn't they just get Rosie O'Donnell to do it?
So I guess it's a great out next year. We should watch Dan Aykroyd in Diamonds for,
no. Please.
You know who else is in it? Jenny McCarthy.
Oh my god, a stalwart of great films. I'd like to say this. I don't know. I think we've lost sight. Despite, just like Omar, honestly. Just like Omar, I feel like we've said Dan Aykroyd's name a lot, but he's been missing throughout this entire podcast.
He really has. The spirit of Dan Aykroyd has not been here like the first two.
No, I definitely agree. This has been a dark Dan Aykroyd episode, if we could even call it that. And,
hey, it counts.
Hey, I guess, if Dan Aykroyd can be, if he can fart out movies like Exit to Eden, we can
Dan Aykroyd podcast.
Yeah, we can give him our evil version of our podcast.
I mean, I think this episode worked out fine. It was just like Dan Aykroyd free because I don't know. He should have made a bigger presence in Exit to Eden if he wanted us to talk about him so much.
You get what you give, Dan.
Yeah.
Like, you want me in our podcast more, be in the movie more.
That's exactly what I was saying. We're on the same page completely.
Yeah. He better be that guy, Dr. Detroit, I've heard about. Yeah. In the movie Dr. Detroit.
But we'll be talking about some Dr. Detroit, or some Dan Aykroyd, if Dr. Detroit delivers.
Ever since those first two episodes with Dan Aykroyd, I've been kind of seeing signs everywhere, you know? Like, and that's what's so disappointing about this Dan Aykroyd movie, is that the last two were just so Dan Aykroyd, and, like, you know, Neighbors was just, like, such a, you know, it was Dan Aykroyd's message projected.
I think this says more about us than about our movie choices than our Dan Aykroyd and our faith in him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was our own undoing and our own fault.
That's 100% true. But I just feel like, I don't know, for me, because I'm buying into the whole Dan Aykroyd package, the extraterrestrials and everything, I just feel like, I just gotta say, if you're gonna buy into everything, you gotta know that extraterrestrial acknowledgement will just lead to being paranoid all the time, because you know that Dan Aykroyd's correct and there's men in limousines watching you in New York.
Yeah.
Man, I've never forgotten about this time he saw that man, this man in the van. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I tell you, they got out and they watched me.
He was doing the Britney Spears SNL, right?
He only gave him just enough time to look away, to run away when he looked away.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way that they would have just left.
No, because he knew the street corners They couldn't make it because he was looking in that direction. No. And they definitely did not go past.
That's how I feel.
So yeah, it was a disappointing Dan Aykroyd week, but
I'm disappointed in myself, you guys.
In spirit, no.
Well, that's even better.
That's even better. I like butts. Men's. Okay, so we're actually going to close out the show.
Please.
We're just going to close it out by playing a short little derivative of the audio book. This is Dana Delany's character from the movie. I'll start it off. I like butts.
Men's beautiful behinds.
Well, do you know what I like to do? To gorgeous butts.
I like to squeeze them. Pinch them. Caress them. And that's where
butts.
You know what else I like?
Butts. Yeah, that's where it cuts off.
Butts. And then she just says butts for like 20 more minutes.
Butts.
She just collapses in a heap on the floor and starts saying butts.
Butts. She like blows up like a fembot.
That closes the book on that. And with that note,
don't exit to Eden it.
It is traveling time.
I hope to never mention that movie again. It's traveling.
And we never will.
Mm-hmm.
We have fun. Now we've come to the end and we gotta get back on the run. But no, we're always thinking of you as we ride into that settling sun. traveling time.
I hope she finds peace.